And I was asked by Cindy to lead, and she asked me to share my experience, strength, and hope. And that's what I'm going to do. So I've always been taught to share what it was like, what happened, and what's like now. So I have a, I think, I'll do it. And what I do is I do the emotional, spiritual, and the physical of my life, what happened, what it was like, and what it's like now. So I grew up, I was pretty emotionally, I had low self-esteem. I was depressed and I didn't know it. And then I also had panic attacks when I was a very young child, and I didn't know what it was. But I was pretty not spiritually. The only thing I knew is that we were to go to church, and I did. But I wasn't connected. There was no personal connection. And physically, I come from tall, thin stock, and that's kind of what I was until I turned about midway through my 15th year. And I don't have any issues. I didn't have issues with food. I do remember liking a lot of junk foods, but prior to then, I really was seeing issues around my body and my weight and all that. And my weight was. And but it was on a teenage girl in the United States. So like a light switch went off, I started binging on foods I don't eat and that are primarily what most people would refer to when I was 15. Particularly when I was 16, and between my sixth junior and senior year of high school, I gained 50 pounds. And that was not the deal. That wasn't going to work for me. I felt awful. I felt more depressed. I felt sad. I felt angry. I felt so many things, and I really couldn't feel them looking back, but I felt those things. And it's funny, I went to all girls boarding school. A lot of girls that was a compulsive overeater. And I actually diagnosed myself that way. And I actually told the school counselor that it was in the mid 90s or early 90s. And I'd heard about it. And I was like, well, I'm not bulimic. I wanted my mind was. And I did some reading and it was like this term compulsive overeater. And I knew that's what I was when I heard it. I was like, yeah, it's me. The school nurse, school counselor, excuse me, who I knew very well. I was always very active in sports. Called my parents or my dad and said, Jeanette doesn't eat with the other girls in the dining hall. She eats by herself. So at 15, I pretty much was isolating on most of my meals, all three of them. Because again, I was a boarding school. So you eat all meals in the dining hall or you take it back to the room. So what I would do is take myself back to my room or I would order something and eat the whole thing by myself on a regular basis, or I would go that night, most nights, junior and senior year, to the little general store, and I could charge the stuff home to my parents' account for school, and it was primarily, so I was grazing all day long, and alone in my dorm, and this all those things I just mentioned. Continued into college, picked up alcohol at the same into college summer before senior year of high school and college. I started drinking pretty out of control. I was only to get drunk, just like my food is only to binge. There was never any relaxation with it. There was nothing. I was also working and at a much younger age, around 9 and 10, I started cleaning the house every day. It was very I wasn't OCD in the sense that I was cleaning, but I was straightening and everything had to be perfect. So I was OCD a little bit at a very young age. And then my belief now is that my food took over because it wasn't masking the feelings. I wasn't doing enough. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it's my story and I'm sticking to it. And I think that's what happened. And then as I went to college, I was doing all the things. I was still straightening in my room all the time and being very neat and clean and being obsessive about it. And High school.
Jeanette, excuse me, you're freezing up quite a bit. Maybe if you turn your, there you go. Thank
I'll
you.
see. There doesn't. On the way to and from therapy, I went back to therapy in college first semester because it was free. It was included in college. My parents didn't have to pay for it. I thought that would help. I did again in graduate school as I was still doing the same behaviors, drinking, cleaning. It was just, I was obsessed. I went back to church. I stopped going to, when I was in high school after my graduate. Went back after, I guess, living on my own. Relationship, but the priest called me a seeker. And I thought that sounded right. I knew it was something. I had a physically, I'd lost a little bit of weight. I'd run a marathon, and I didn't not believe it or not do that because I wanted to lose weight. I did that because that was a lifelong goal. But it really was that I was still overweight. I'm tall, and so everyone called me big boned or a big girl. I was never obese. The stuff between my ears was the stuff that kept me fat, and it really was. It anesthetized a lot. It helped me. I don't want to go back to it now, but it did what it did was to all that stuff I mentioned. And it helped me a lot, and until it stopped working, until it worked again. And so when I was 26, I had the therapist from me, and or 25, I don't remember. And she had said to me, she said, "Why don't you go to Overeaters Anonymous?" And I said, "I'm not going to anything referred to as Overeaters Anonymous," because she knew I had a food problem. I was very upfront about that. And she knew she couldn't help me. She was a psychologist, PhD, smart woman. She told me, she's like, "You need to go there for the food because I can't help you." Well, I was too arrogant and wasn't going to do that. Sexy, and I sure as heck wasn't an alcoholic, but no one suggested that. But the food, oh, I wasn't going to do anything. It was too much vanity. When I was growing up, we had the sign on the refrigerator, or actually on the bread box, that said, "You can never be too." I can assure you we were not rich. And two women in bikinis running on the beach, and the something, and that was the standard. And it was extremely it, what you look like were important. In my home. And that wasn't just my mother. That was the whole gang of us. I bought into it, too. And so that's what I learned. So gaining weight was the problem. Being spiritually disconnected, there wasn't a problem there. We just had to go. And emotionally, there was no room for emotion in my home. There was no room for dissension among the ranks. I was laughing at one point in 8th grade. Anything inappropriate, right? It was actually funny, but there was no room for any emotion. It wasn't the negative ones that were stifled. It was everything. So moving on. So graduate school, I finally decided I was going to go. Signed up for every weight loss program. I signed up for the point system. I couldn't do it right before. I remember signing up and saying, "I can't do this. I'm a compulsive overeater," but I signed up anyway, which was the insanity of the disease. So I always wanted to lose the weight. You name it, I did it. Did this, I did that. I did try and starve myself. The difference is it just didn't work. I just couldn't do it beyond like a day. I just couldn't do it. Maybe not even that. I mean, talking hours, really. I mean, I just couldn't do anything to keep stopping binging. And I told myself every night I'd stop, and of course I didn't. And the drill, if you're here. And I decided that I was going to go finally when I saw a sign on the back of a door that the public relations committee had put out for Central Virginia Intergroup for Overeaters Anonymous, of which in Richmond, Virginia, where I live, and it said new. I could not go to Newcomer's Day. I was busy. It was in January of 2022, and I decided that I would. So I did. I went to a writing meeting where we read out of the, or we read and then wrote the answers out of the 12 or workbook. And that was the first thing I did. Foods and everything I knew I couldn't eat and binge on, and or I would binge on, et cetera. I got a sponsor. I did what you, good girl. I was always perfectionist, and I wanted to be liked. I'm a people pleaser, so I knew the codependent. I didn't know it at the time, but I knew that that's what I. Of course, I came for the vanity too. And but I did know that OA was going to be different. I had no idea how. I had no idea what 12 steps were like. I knew nobody in them. I'd heard of AA. I'd suddenly heard of OA. That was it. It was not parents or not addicts of any kind that I mean, not a substance really. And so, and my family, I mean, yeah, maybe one or two members of live close to them to be in, you know, what they were doing. So anyway, so I went, like the cliche, I did feel at home. I felt so comfortable. It was great. I put down the sugar, not right away, but it was advised to me, and I knew that I needed to do it. I started weighing, measuring my food. I joined the OA Help program, which at the time was prominent in my area. And we don't have it anymore. It really taught me the basics for me, for my physical abs. I had the will by the grace of God. And I would have, and I never would have come to OA. Didn't. Thank goodness, right? And so I put down the 20, 25 pounds. I don't remember. And I was pretty low in my weight, and I thought I had a great life. I started dating. I had sponsees. I was going to meetings, et cetera, et cetera. I found a higher power. The quickest thing was that I found a God of my, not of my understanding, that it suddenly, this was the same God from church. It was suddenly like, oh, this is what they were talking. Didn't have a bad church experience. I just didn't have a connected one. So, as I'd mentioned, and so all of a sudden it did. And I was like, oh, this is cool. This is great. And it was. I was getting parking spaces. I mean, man, it was just the best. I started going to this Korean Buddhist place. I was meditating. And I say that because it wasn't helping me with my recovery. Well, I mean, I guess technically, but it was more just, I was just doing all this stuff. And it was connected. The emotional has been the hardest part for me, hands down, period, end of story. I've been in the program, as you can do the math. I never left since 2002. It's 2026. Been in here 49 now, and the emotional has absolutely been the hardest of the three, for sure. I did every step you've told me. I've done, of course, there's only 12, a million times with steps. You name the way I've done it. I think the only thing I haven't done is Joe and Charlie tapes. Other than that, I think I've done it. It doesn't really matter inside when I'm doing them. And frankly, I wasn't interested. Just like I wasn't interested in coming here. My ego, as Bill Wilson says in the big book, has to be smashed. And man, I wasn't interested in that bowl. That's good for you guys, not good for me. So I remember friends of mine who said, still to this day, but good friends, Richmond OA and one. My sister hit me underneath the table or kicked me, and I didn't know what to do. And she was trying as to her response because she was in recovery. And I was like, well, kick her back. I didn't say that, but that was my thinking. And the other one said something how she was going to use the program about like how to respond to an email. And I thought, if you for work, and I thought, if you people need this kind of help, that's, you know, fine, but I don't. I didn't see the in my life, and I was like, I'm not gonna, I don't. I mean, not the sort of take. I would have sort of educational. I'm much. God, but it has taken a couple decades in this program to honestly get there. And I didn't leave. I've relapsed three times. I needed a tremendous amount of support to get out of relapse from sugar all three times. Tremendous. Meaning, I couldn't be around food. I just couldn't do it because I was going to binge. I tried everything beyond that the program offers. And it was just, I mean, the disease. Every time I picked up sugarless anything, I could back in the sugar every single time. Couple, Before I got married in the program, I have one son in the program. I got divorced in the program, and I was through my divorce. I got abs. I was after my son was born about a year and a half. Third time, and praise Jeanette willing, because God is always willing. We don't really say God willing. People, let me be very clear about this. I willing then there's a good chance I'm going to weigh and measure my food to commit it to my sponsor, let her know if there's a food change to be had prior, because I don't have the food, what it is, sponsor people, meditate. Pray, do the do. I don't weigh and measure, sometimes, but not as much than that. I pretty much do the stuff. I read, I write daily, pretty much do a 10 step, when something comes up for me. I do a nightly 11 step morning reading in the big book. I don't say that because I just do the laundry list. Because why? Because people smarter than me figure. And God, knew what the plan was. I just need to follow it. I don't need to question it. It doesn't matter to me how it works. I do have to have a relationship with the higher power, and all, and to get guidance and to do things and so on and so forth. Absolutely. But man, if I'm running the show, I just said to her, I work with who's in a different fellowship with me about 20 minutes before we got on the call. And he said, "You always say it is what it is," and he's like, sober in his program, and he said, "I just it's just so true." And I said, "If I'm running the show, we've got a problem. That's just all we need to know. If I'm running the, got a problem. Whether it come to food, whether it comes to alcohol, whether it comes to people, it does not matter." And I have struggled through the decades, like I said, with the emotion. My hardest step, 100%. I'm not hard on myself for that. It just is what it is. My will has to be smashed every single day and sometimes hourly because it takes back. I want Fonzie, and I told her the other day, she's like, "Well, I'm suffering over here and I want to start the step sooner," basically. And I was like, "This is on God's time. This is not going to be on your time." And it's like, and she knows. To a higher power already, and this, that, and the other, and she's like, "Yeah, I was trying to," and I said, "It just is what it is right now." And she got it. I was like, "This is God's time." I hear that. I said, "You want what you want when you want it." Just, period. That's how addicts operate. That's how this one who's speaking operates. And I was like, "You're one of me. Great. Just another person doing this in imperfectly." I'm grateful to be here. I do my gratitude list every day. I thank God for pretty much most things in my life, the good and the bad. I say a lot of acceptance prayer. I don't want to accept a lot of things that God has for me in the way the if I'm not if it's happening, that means God wants it to. Whether But I don't know why, but it's not my job to figure it out. It's just my job to show up and do my work. So I'm gonna. You need anything? I am 3 hours behind most of you, or ahead of you, excuse me, past.